Well, I need your prayers. This is not a comfortable position for me at all. But I feel like the Lord's been talking to me, and I want to give what He gave me. I don't have a lot of commentary, but I have a lot of scriptures, and I feel like if you all can follow the scriptures, you can get the same blessing that I got here. We've been talking about the last two messages that the Lord has given me. We talked about the just shall live by faith. That's kind of the theme that we've been talking about. And we first addressed things that hinder that walk of faith. And the first thing we talked about was envy, how that envy is in so many people's lives, and envy can take a hold of us and cause us to not trust that God has His plan, that God's plan is the best for our life. Pride is another cousin, is a cousin to envy. And pride can short circuit that perfect trust and walk of faith in God. I want to read a scripture that is that encapsulates the thought that we have this morning. And it's in Luke, the first chapter, and the 67th verse. This is talking about when John the Baptist was born and Zechariah had been made dumb because he didn't believe the Lord. But his tongue was opened here and he started prophesying. He said, "Blessed be." He said he was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." I want to talk about fear this morning. Fear is something that will short circuit that walk of faith that the Lord wants us to have. The scripture says that the just shall live by his faith. I think a better way, or another way to say that, this is something that was impressed to me real strongly when the Lord started giving me this series of messages. The just must live by faith. It's the only way, ultimately, that we're going to follow the path that the Lord gave us and make it to heaven. I want to read in Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter and the first verse. We're going to have a lot of reading today. I'm not going to turn to all of these, but some of them I'm just going to read. And the Israelites, were going on their way to the promised land. And the Lord's preparing them for that entrance into Canaan. And it said, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Down in the 8th verse of this chapter it says, And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. The Israelites were going to conquer a land that there were a lot of big people there. They were developed nations. They had a lot of horses and chariots. They had armies. They were very strong people. And when they went over there, the Lord told them, These people are bigger than you. They're stronger than you. But the Lord's with you. And I want you to go, and I've given you this land for a possession. I want you to go and knock these people out, but you're going to do it in the strength of the Lord. And because the Lord is going to give you this strength, there's no reason to fear. Don't fear. It'll hinder you. And it did hinder them. They went, Joshua and Caleb and the other spies went over there, and they came and said, We'd love to take this place. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. But we can't. It's not enough for us. But it was the path that the Lord had chose for them. It was the land that the Lord had given them to possess. But they didn't enter in. In Hebrews it says that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Fear and unbelief are very closely related. It can cripple us, but another thing it can do is it can hinder God's ability to help us. And that's why that it's so important that we fight against fear this morning. I want to read in Judges the 7th chapter, the first verse. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now, I want us to notice, especially this third verse. Now, therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. There was an army against them of, I think, around 135,000 Midianites and other nations that were gathered together against Israel. And the Lord wanted to show himself strong in the behalf of the people. And so he said, Whoever's fearful, go home. And 22,000 went home. You know, those people, they got to miss the battle. They didn't have to fight. But you know what they also missed? They missed the miracle. They missed seeing what God could do. All they got was the 300 men that came back. They were saying, Wow, all these people that were gathered around here, and the Lord delivered us. And we didn't have hardly anybody. And I don't know what happened, but the Lord caused those guys to just be defeated. Mm-hmm. And the people missed out on all that. They were afraid. They went home. You know, I feel like that a lot of times we miss seeing miracles. We miss seeing the working of God. We miss a lot of things in life because we're fearful about what's going to happen. I'm not talking about having a cautious personality. It's good to be cautious. It's good to plan ahead. It's good to prepare. But when the Lord gives us a path to go through and He leads us in a certain way, when we shrink back from that, a lot of times we miss seeing miracles. We miss seeing deliverances. We miss the thing when we go through life and we think, I wonder why I'm not seeing any big things happen in my life. I wonder why I'm not. Well, if we shrink back from everything, every time we don't have our ducks in a row and the Lord says, go here or do this, and we shrink back because we're afraid, that's a form of unbelief. You know, Israel didn't go into the land of Canaan, and they wandered for 40 years. And then Moses died, and after the death of Moses, let's go to Joshua, the first chapter, and the first verse. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. It's a lot of land. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people that shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua was one of the two spies, one of the 12 spies that went over 40 years prior to that. They went over and 10 of them said, you know, this is a great land, but we can't go in because the people over there are too strong. We're like grasshoppers. And there were two men that said, we are well able to go. And I know that when they said that, they didn't look at the size of their army. They didn't look at their battering rams or their chariots. But the Lord, they said, the Lord's with us. We're well able. I don't care if there's two of us. We can go and take this land. Joshua and Caleb, and they were the only ones out of that whole generation that were allowed to go into the land. Those two men, Caleb, when he was 80, I think he was 85 years old, and they were dividing up the land of Canaan, and there was a mountain full of giants. And he said, that's what I want. I want this mountain. Give me this mountain. I'm 85. I want this mountain. I think about David. David knew where his strength was at. I'm not going to turn to these, but I'm just going to read through some of these psalms here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Another place it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Another place it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear? Is it because nothing ever happens? It says, we won't fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You ever been in some shaking? You ever been in a time where you couldn't see the way out? You ever been in a time where you couldn't see a pathway through?
Yes.
You ever been in a time when the Lord told you to do something, but it looked dangerous? Who are we serving? It's not some idol in a temple. I can understand people being fearful if they're serving a block of granite in a temple. That can't do anything to help them. But look who we're serving. You know, sometimes I think that we won't say this, not even to ourselves, but sometimes I think down deep in our hearts that we have the feeling like we know what's the safest and best plan for our lives. We won't say that. We won't even let ourselves think it. But that's how we act sometimes. There's a song. Maybe we can sing it after a while. It says, how can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? If we're children of God this morning, if He's with us, He can see all the way until the end of our life. He knows exactly what we need. He knows what we need to make it to heaven. He knows the things that we need to go through in order to learn the lessons He wants us to learn. He knows what we need to prepare ourselves for the work that He gives us. Job had a good vision of that. Job said, I can look on my right hand and I don't see him. And on my left hand and backward and forward, any way I look, I can't perceive him. And I don't know the path. I don't know my path. I can't see in front of me far enough to hardly even know what the next step is. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And that's... we need to stop worrying so much about having all of our ducks in a row, everything lined up, making sure that everything's secure. We need to follow the Lord. You know, last year we had something fearful come. We were on a long job in California and a lady tripped and fell on the plastic that we had hung around the space. And, you know, we kind of got apprehensive about that. And after a while, we learned the store sent us information that the lady had retained an attorney. And we thought, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, we just started praying. We said, Lord, you know what's going on here. You know what we need. If this, you know, we were trying to be, maybe we were a little bit careless. We don't always do everything exactly right. But it was we had the temptation to be very fearful in that time. Because those things can turn into a big deal. And we started praying. And you know, I was able to just stop worrying about it. And you know, I haven't heard a word about it since then. I think the statute of limitations has probably run out on that. I don't think they could sue now. I think about another time. At Thanksgiving last year, my cousin, my brother-in-law, my cousin that married my wife's sister, came to our house for Thanksgiving, and we were having a good time. And near the beginning of their stay, he lost his wallet. It's just gone. And we looked everywhere. And we had been out on our big swing, and I could just see that wallet flying out of his pocket and flying 50 feet and landing under the leaves somewhere. And you know, that seems like a small thing, but you try going on a trip without a wallet, it's not very easy. You got your driver's license in there, you've got your credit card in there, how are you going to pay for anything? And we got down and we had prayer and we begged the Lord. We said, Lord, you know where this wallet is. Please help us to find it. And you know, Michael said, we got up and we started having a good time again. And Michael said, you know, I'm not worried about that. He said, the Lord sees it. He knows where it is. If he wants me to find this wallet, he's going to show it to me. And you know, we got to the very last day before they left and they still hadn't found that wallet, and he needed it. And he wasn't worried. He wasn't afraid. He said, the Lord knows where it's at. I'm going to pray that the Lord will help me find it. If he doesn't help me find it, it's not because he didn't know where it was. And you know, right before they left, they found that wallet. I think it was the day before. It was really close up to the time they had to leave. I think a lot of times in our lives, we have many things happen. You know, the Lord watches over us, and a lot of times I don't know if we even realize what the Lord does for us. I don't think that everything that happens to a child of God is just the natural course of life. A lot of times, God will intervene. And to a child of God, for a child of God that has his trust in the Lord, there will be many times where something could happen or could have happened. And their opportunity is always there to be fearful and live in fear and worry. But a lot of times the Lord interferes with the course of nature and does things for us. I can tell you so many things in my own life where something was going to happen by the natural course. I had a time when I was so busy I couldn't go over to my other house, and the sump pump was broken. And it always flooded when the sump pump was broken. And there was rain coming, and it rained. It rained, and I couldn't go over there and fix it. It was an hour job, and I didn't have time. I was too tired. I had work like crazy. And it rained for like 2 days or 3 days. It just rained and poured. And I got a little break after it was all done raining, and I got to go over there. And did you know that basement was bone dry? I mean, not a drop got in there. I don't know how it happened. I've seen that basement flood within 1 hour of it starting to rain. I watched it. The Lord wants us to go on a journey with him. But we're going to have to fight our fears. There's going to be a lot of things that the Lord will want us to do. The Lord is not going to line everything out for us. He doesn't even want to do it that way. He wants us to trust him. There is another place. There is a place in the Bible. I tell you what, let's turn to Mark, the 5th chapter. I'm just going to summarize this. There was a ruler whose daughter was sick, and he came to Jesus and said, come and heal my daughter. And so Jesus said, all right. And they were on their way, and a servant came and said, your daughter has died. And when Jesus heard that, he said to the ruler, don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. The Lord wants to do things for us. But we have to fight our fears. Remember the time when Jesus walked on the water? And Peter said, hey, if this is you, let me come to you. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter got down out of the ship and he started walking. He was walking on the water just like Jesus was. And what made him sink? Anybody know what made him sink?
Yes, he was afraid.
He was afraid. He was afraid, and when he started to be afraid, how could he have been afraid? I know the winds and the waves were tall, and it was frightening, probably thunder, probably lightning, a great tempest. The ship was tossed, but Jesus was right there, and he had already said, come to me. Peter learned a lesson right then, didn't he? I imagine he did. I would say he used that experience the rest of his life. In the times, you know, life got a lot tougher for him after that. That was just a little sample. That was something to prepare him for what was to come later. I think about the time when Jesus was asleep in the ship. And it said, let's turn to that one. That one's in Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 23rd verse. It said, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? See how those two go together? Unbelief and fear. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Jesus was in the ship. That ship wasn't going to go down, but it looked like it because it wasn't just a storm. It was so great. The waves covered the ship. I just wonder, you know, I'm sure that was the Lord had those disciples in class for 3.5 years, and he taught them all kinds of lessons. If you look at these same people and you read about the things that they did in the book of Acts and the epistles that they wrote, sometimes you almost wonder, are these the same guys? Yeah, they were the same guys, but the Lord brought them through those places to teach them to serve him without fear. They had some tough places to go through. The Lord knew the future. A lot of times, there's so many times that the Lord does things for us, and then yet, we have a tendency when we get in another place that seems fearful, we have a tendency to be fearful all over again. We need to remember those past times that the Lord has brought us through things. When something happens to you that you look at it and you say, that was the Lord. The Lord did that. Write it down. Record it. Do something. Keep it in your memory somehow. Make a monument of it. You know, when they went over Jordan, Joshua took the people over Jordan. It was an impossible job. They didn't have boats. They didn't have a bridge. There wasn't a ferry. But they went across on dry ground. And the waters didn't part until the priest's feet stepped in the water. And, you know, while they were out in the middle of there, Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the river. In the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Out there in the middle of the river. Couldn't go back out there if they wanted to later. But there they are. There are those rocks. And if you ever want to, if you ever have a question about whether the Lord can do something, go out in the middle of a humongous river and look at that pile of rocks. That's something to remember. Keep those things in your mind, the things that the Lord's done. There's another way that we fear sometimes. Let's turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 24th verse. We have the parable of the talents. The man went to a far country, gave his servants different amounts of money to invest. And one of them said, I've taken this unit of money and I have multiplied it 10 times for you. And another one said, I've made 5 with it. But I want to read about the one that had one. Then he had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the master severely got onto him for that. He lost everything he had. And it was because he was afraid that he would not be treated fairly. I think a lot of times we have questions and things in our life. We think, you know, I think a lot of times we feel like that the Lord will not give us a fair deal. That if we give ourselves totally to the Lord, that it's going to be a harder life than if we planned it out ourselves. The opposite is true. I want to read one verse over in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter and the 29th verse. And he's pleading with them to turn to him. And it says, yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Why do we tend to think that we can plan our lives better than the Lord can? You know, we may say, you know, if I give myself totally to the Lord, oh, He might call me to preach. And He might. And He might give you something else to do. I will tell you this, that the Lord knows the very best path for your life. And if you shirk, if you run from the path that the Lord chooses for you, ultimately you're going to have a much worse life than if you just took the one the Lord chose. Yeah. The way of the Lord is the best way. The life in the pathway that the Lord has for us is the best one. Don't be afraid of what the Lord will call you to do. You know, I want to go to a scripture in Luke, the 12th chapter and the 4th verse. It says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." This is a little thought I want to bring out here. You know, the Lord is a God. He wants to be our friend. He wants to have a relationship with us. But I want to tell you, if we bypass the knowledge that the Lord's way is best, and we shrink back from the things the Lord calls us to do, and we live our life to where we always have our own security planned out, there's something greater to be feared at the end of it all. The Lord, there is a day coming that the Lord will require our deeds from us. The Lord is a God of mercy, but there is also a judgment. You know, we can live our life how we want to, but at the end of it all, the Lord is going to say, "Why were you afraid to do those things that I wanted you to do? Why were you afraid to take this step here?" You know, I looked up the word fear where it says fear him. And, you know, I don't like to look at it just in the sense that we're afraid of God and everything. But I want to tell you, it means a great awe, a great reverence. But the word frightened is also in there. I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I don't live my life by the pathway that the Lord has chosen. You know, we may be afraid of things that will happen to us here, but I'm afraid what will happen if I don't step into the steps that the Lord gives me. The Lord wants us to fear Him. But he said you don't have to be afraid of those things that appear to frighten you. And you know, the Lord, it says, be not afraid. I like the wording here. It doesn't say be not afraid of the path the Lord's chosen, because nothing's going to happen. The Lord will keep you safe. It says don't be afraid of them that'll kill the body. You know, I go back to Job again. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." The Lord, Job knew that the Lord's way was best. And he had a hard time for a while, but that was one of the lessons he learned, was that the Lord knew what he needed. Let's go to Hebrews 10 and 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Let's go over to the 11th chapter, and I want to read about Abraham. In the 8th verse it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." The Lord said, "I want you to go somewhere. I have a place for you to go. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Just go." Probably told him which direction to head in, I'm sure. And Abraham left. People would ask him, "Where are you going?" "Well, I don't know." There were people that populated those areas. There were fierce people. The whole earth was full of idol worshipers and people that did whatever was right in their own eyes and served other gods. I'm sure that there were a lot of fears that could have overtaken Abraham and stopped his progress. The Lord took him to the land of Canaan. It was a land that the Lord wanted him to go to, and he became one of the wealthiest, most prospered, most honored people in all history. We don't know where the Lord's taking us. We don't have to know where the Lord's taking us. There will be a lot of times that the Lord will say, I want you to do this. Maybe I want you to move here. Maybe I want you to give this up. Or I want you to start doing this. If the Lord tells us to do something, I'll tell you, He's got our best interest in mind. It's a good thing to be a cautious person. You know, if I was out on my porch that's 9 feet off the ground, I'm not going to just go jump off of it. It's dangerous. But if I was on my porch, this is just an illustration. I don't anticipate this happening. If I was on my porch and the Lord said, I want you to jump off of this, I would do it. I don't see any practical reason to do something like that. But I want to tell you, if the Lord told me to do it and I knew it was the Lord, if the Lord tells you to do something, you can make sure it's the Lord. But after you know it's the Lord, do it, whatever it is. You know, we read the scripture in Matthew about fearing the Lord. I want to read a very solemn scripture in Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 7th verse. It says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Fear can make us draw back from God's plan. I want to tell you, there's lots of giants that we have to face. There's anger. There's bitterness. There's covetousness. There's pride. And there's all these things that we know that we need to get out of our lives and that we need to fight against. I want to tell you, we need to fight against fear like any other giant in our lives. It's not just, it may be a natural feeling, but anger is a natural feeling also. We need to fight those feelings of fear that would make us hold back from the places that God wants us to go. I remember, I'll tell a little personal story here. I had to fight a lot of fear. When the Lord let me know He wanted me to start preaching, I feel like I'm one of the most unlikely people to ever be up here. And one day, I was just battling. I was battling it. And a song just came to me very forcibly. It said, I will reject all doubts and fears. That's number 287 in our songbook. I will reject all doubts and fears. I will believe and simply trust. Thou hast said, cast on me thy cares. Can I obey? Yes, Lord, I must. There are people, and I have seen this, there are people that go through their whole life that let fear place a limit on what they can do and what God can do for them. Fear feeds itself. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times, if we fear, that if we're fearful that God can't do anything for us, if we're fearful that this and that's going to happen, things are going to happen. I have seen this, and I've seen people, and it's like, I've seen people that were very fearful, and it's like, stuff just happens all the time, and they get in trouble, and I want to tell you, a lot of times, if we can get over the fear of what's going to happen, a lot of those things are going to start to stop happening. Not everything. God gives us what we need. But when you fear the path the Lord chooses for you, and you're always fearful and you're locked up and you can't do anything because of these feelings inside, a lot of those things that you might have just totally missed are going to happen because you place a limit on what God can do for you. I've seen this a lot of different times. The Lord doesn't want us to be fearful. The Lord doesn't want us to have these feelings inside that where they just reign and take over. I want to read a couple more scriptures here. I'm almost done. John 14 and the 27th verse. This is the way that the Lord, this is what the Lord came to bring. Jesus came to bring us. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I want to get another scripture over in Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, in the first verse. This is a vision that Ezekiel had. If you ever get time, read the book of Ezekiel. There are so many applications, practical applications in life. So many lessons to be learned in that book. It says, "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house. Behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. Behold, there ran waters on the right side, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters or to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Again, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not pass over." This is what the Lord wants to do for us. He wants to take us deeper and deeper to the point where we have to trust in Him. It's the only way we can survive. I think a lot of times we want to play in the shallows. We just want to stay there where we can feel the bottom and we can feel our own footing. But that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to bring it to the place where it says, waters to swim in. That's the experience that the Lord wants to bring us to. We're never going to get that if we make sure we have our own footing and our own security, our own ideas. He wants to bring us past those shallows. It's safe to trust the Lord. It's safe to put our confidence in Him. The Lord's not going to forsake us. David said, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I think of a song, number 37 in our book. Yes. It says, "Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy trouble to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Pray for me.